Melissa in the Morning chats with career strategist and workplace expert, Julie Bauke. It's Julie on the Job, now on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
So even though it's the most wonderful time of the year, let's be honest, this can also be one of the most difficult times of the year for people. And if financials is something that's really stressing you out, your financial instability or maybe unemployment, today, Julie Bauke wants to focus on kind of reinvigorating you, making you feel optimistic and certainly know that we could put a game plan in place. We can make 2026 a great year for you employment wise. And maybe you could even be career happy. I know Julie strives for that every time she comes on the show. Julie Bauke is back, our career strategist. And Julie, I mean, it sounds like you're hearing personally from a lot of people who are either unemployed or just feeling discouraged about where they're at work wise.
Yeah, you know, I've been in this space for a very, very long time. And every year when it comes to the holidays, and I would say Thanksgiving through the new year, but especially about, you know, mid-December until probably the second week of January, you start to get that, we'll worry about that next year. We'll take a look at that budget or filling that position or hiring next year. And you've got all these folks who've been in a job search sometimes for quite a while who look at this period as just a dead zone, and everybody around them is, you know, maybe happy and trying to get them cheered up and, you know, trying to be festive. And all you can think about is, when am I going to find a job? And it's every single year. So first of all, no, you're not alone. And I think it's really, really important to just start maybe, you know, just a little bit every day, start thinking about what the search in 2026 is going to look like. And so I've seen some things work and I've seen some things not work. And so I want to make sure that our listeners are really focused on, if you want to be productive during this time and really think about that next job search, make sure you're doing the right things.
So when you say doing the right things, obviously we want to make sure that people are maybe searching for the right things. And what do you mean by that especially?
Yeah. So one of the biggest mistakes people make is that they believe that first of all, that first week of January is always, people are kind of getting their mojo back. It's always a little slower than you hope. But you may be lovely and you may be wonderful and you may be the king or queen of what you do, but people will forget about you and that you are in a job search. And so this reset that a lot of us go through in January with, I'm not going to eat any sweets. I'm going to, I'm going to do all these things. Part of that does apply to out with the old and with the new. And so the first thing you want to think about is, how do I let the key people in my network know that I'm still in a job search, but in a positive and not whiny way? So reaching out to sit down and make a list of your core contacts. Take a look over your calendar for the last 4 to 6 months of 2025 and say, okay, who did I connect with that I felt like we had a good conversation? They had some other contacts for me. They gave me hope. They seem interested. And pick out those people and maybe even put them in like an ABC list. And then at the first week of January, maybe that first week, send a note out to each person. And it is to be, I hope you had great holidays. Hope you got a lot of great things planned for 2026. Wanted to touch base because the new year started and let you know that even though I've had some great conversations and some interesting interviews, I've not yet landed that right job. I wanted to reach back out and let you know that I'm still in this situation and what I'm looking for. So it's like you're hitting the refresh button with the people who were concerned about you. Because if you haven't kept in touch, those people, many of them believe that you've probably got a job. Mm-hmm. And so it's reminding people in an upbeat, positive way that you're still out there and what you're looking for is a great way to, you know, become top of mind again with the people who care about you. And even if you don't get 10 out of 10 responses, that's okay. You still let people know. So that's one thing. The second thing is, over this period of time, I want you to really take a look at your resume and your LinkedIn profile. And I want to challenge you to have somebody who knows you close, who is a close contact professionally, pick somebody who knows the best of you professionally, and ask them if they'd do you a favor, take a look at both your resume and your LinkedIn profile, and make sure that those pieces, which are your core communication strategy, are telling your story. Are you being open enough? Are you being self-congratulatory is the wrong phrase, but I can't think of the right one. But, you know, are you being realistic in terms of what you actually did, or are you holding back and downplaying it?
Mm.
So make sure the story you're telling to the community is the right one.
But also, and like, then, the best version of it, too. I mean, this is not the time to be, I don't want to call it humble, but it's okay, is what you're saying, Julie. It's okay,
yes,
to really highlight that, hey, I've had some wins, and we should recognize that and not bury it and just imagine people already know it.
Yeah, yeah. And then this big one, big. The biggest cause of people with dissatisfaction, frustration, depression, whatever you want to call it, about the job search is they spend too much time on job boards. They spend way too much time on job boards. It is like shouting into the Grand Canyon and hoping that somebody grabs you before you hit bottom. I mean, that is literally what it's like. And if you're sitting there thinking that you're the only person that experiences the online process that way, you're incorrect. Everybody does. And very, 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 very rarely do I speak to someone who says, yeah, you know, I just applied for that job online and, you know, it was seamless. I got a great job. And we're to the point now, Melissa, where I was reading an article about this, and it was a younger person talking about how they applied for like 10 finance. They had 10 interviews. 9 out of the 10 first interviews were not with a human. And so it's further demoralizing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a really, really crappy process that on the other side of it feels productive. Feels like I can do this in my bunny slippers. It feels safe, but it's ineffective. Human beings hire other human beings, and that will always be true. My son got a new job a few months ago, and he saw the job on LinkedIn, started searching his network and his memory. Who do I know who works there, who used to work there, and was able to connect his way through a bunch of connections into a person who worked with the hiring manager. She sent his resume directly and said, this is for this position. You ought to take a look at this guy. And guess what? He got the job.
Wow.
And that is over everybody else, the 100 people that applied on LinkedIn, just like he did, but he didn't stop there. And so you can't expect technology to tell your story. You can't expect to stand out in a sea of, in just a sea of you know, just all kinds of barriers.
Yeah.
And then on the other end, let's remember, you're dealing with hiring managers or HR people who are absolutely overwhelmed, who are looking for that port in the storm. They're looking for somebody to come in and say, hey, check this applicant out. That's what they want. I mean, think about it. Put yourself on the other side of the desk. That's
right, you want to get the person who stands out and the person who you,
yes,
feel like is going to, you know, that is an interesting actually piece of advice there, Julie, which is to, you know, put yourself in the shoes of the potential employer. If they're looking for the best person, what would you be looking for? And so put that into your effort to get that job. It's actually a really great piece of advice.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I always say, put yourself on the other side of the desk. You've just seen that 300 people applied for your job on LinkedIn alone.
Right. So what stands out to you?
Wow. Yeah. So how long is it going to take me to even give a cursory glance to those 300? I might take a second look at the first 50, but boy, if I could find somebody that came with a recommendation, oh, I mean, that's the gold standard. So how can you be that person that connects, that's pleasant, that's upbeat, that knows what they bring to the table? And how can you be that person instead of that, I've been looking for 9 months and I can't find anything. Oh, but yeah, but I do spend 25 to 30 hours a week on the job boards. And that is 95% of my strategy. Duh. No wonder you're not having a lot of luck. I'm not saying that the job market isn't really tough, because it is.
Right.
But you've got to, what are those cracks of light? I mean, what kind of positive action can you take? And it really is about being out and about, meeting with people, putting your best foot forward, being really clear about the value you bring to the table.
We've got Julie Bauke here, our career strategist, for a couple more minutes, and we're talking about having a better vision for 2026 if it means you're unemployed or you're not happy where you're working, and just kind of starting that journey over, kind of refreshing it a little bit. I had this question many times, actually, Julie, I feel like throughout 2025 in particular. And I don't know why. Maybe this was just sort of the year where people were like, you know what? I've got the guts and I'm doing it. I'm going. I'm getting out of here. Whatever. Or maybe they've just been listening to us for a very long time and they're like, all right, I'm leaving. I don't know what the case is. But I've had this question many times, which is, what if you realized you might have made a mistake? So in particular, I know somebody who works in the broadcasting industry and left a producer job. And regrets it. Went for another job, thought it was going to be more in line with what she, you know, got a degree in, and realized, actually, I probably should have stuck it out and probably grown with the company. That was a great company, but just she didn't feel like she could see the vision at the time. What do you suggest for people like that? And that's just one, like I said, of many examples that I've heard recently where you're like, oh, maybe I didn't see the full picture.
So the first thing I would say, ask somebody who wanted to do that is, first of all, I'd say, okay, let's first make sure that you want to try to approach your old employer for the right reason. You're not just like, this didn't work out. In that case, sometimes we look at our past through rose-colored glasses, so that it's like, well, maybe, and then you get back there and go, oh yeah, I really didn't like it here. So let's make sure that you would really be returning to that employer for the reason, the right reason, and you're not just trying to get out of what you have right now. That's number one. Number two, go back and really look at, why did you leave? Why did you leave? And has that condition changed? So was it really you misjudged the situation, or was it, you know, a leader that you just couldn't get behind, or was it something else? And then third, you have to look at, how did you leave? So if you left in a positive, upbeat way, without burning bridges, then yes, that door might reopen. Then the fourth step to take would be to figure out what your reapproach is going to be back to that organization, because you're going to have a story about why you left and why you want to come back. And it's going to have to be something that makes sense to them, because sometimes, frankly, we're dealing with leaders who are immature and who say, no, once you're gone, you're gone. So there's all those factors that play into that. But if you can look at it and say, yeah, wow, that was all me. I got distracted by the shiny thing and I didn't really realize that I could build what I wanted here, or I changed my mind about what I wanted. I thought I wanted this, but I don't. Then I think you have to have a conversation and just say, you know, here's the story behind it. Because an employer doesn't want to hire somebody who's just like, oopsie, can I come back? I don't like these people. You know, I mean, you want to make sure that it's really a compelling case and that they recognize that you'd be a good hire coming back. And then you have to, and here's another reason to really make sure you want to go back. You can't go and then leave again in 6 months. You start to look really flaky and it's really hard to tell your story at that point.
Mm. So I feel like that is actually, you know, something to really think about, which is not only, you know, reflecting, seeing if you actually should go back there, but knowing that if, in fact, it's not the best fit for you, that can also impact you when you do then apply for whatever comes next. Interesting.
Yeah.
Julie Bauke, I really appreciate you. And I thank you so much for what you do, not just here on the show, but professionally. So thank you so much. And I will talk to you again next week.
We will. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and all that good stuff.
Hey, you too, my friend. I'll talk to you before the new year, though. I'm excited.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Can't wait.
Take care.
Julie Bauke, career strategist here on WACC.